Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Grace-Filled Step-Parenting, Help and Hope for This Unique and Loving Role by Lori Pollitt Short. Narrated by Lori Pollitt Short. For Jordan, since the day your dad and I married, you have owned a piece of my heart. You always will. Introduction. My stepson gave me permission to write this book. Writers inadvertently bring their loved ones into the limelight, so it would seem disingenuous to write a book about step-parenting without asking your stepchild how he felt about it first. I told him I could try changing his name, but there would be some obvious problems given the fact that I write nonfiction and we live in the same house. I always knew in my heart I wanted to write this book. But timing was an issue, and the end of my stepson's high school years seemed the right time to do it. The more years I've been able to actually live as a stepmom, the more I've been given to say. But first, I had to make sure he was okay with me saying it. Our hope is that this book will help you navigate this tender dance between you and your stepchild, whatever your particular situation has given you. Your circumstances are probably different from mine, but some of the challenges and joys are likely the same. I pray this book will touch your story in the places where you need to know you are seen, and that it may extend to you some wisdom, encouragement, and hope. My stepson turned 17 this year, so I knew he would say no if he didn't want our story to be told. I'm grateful to him for saying yes. For he not only gave me the gift of being able to reflect on one of the most important relationships of my life, he also graciously extended that gift to you. As of 2017, 40% of all married couples with children are forming so-called blended families, and the number of step-parents continues to increase each year. I presume because you picked up this book, you either are one, have one, no one, or are thinking about becoming one. Being a step-parent is hard, and there is no one-size-fits-all step-parenting manual to follow. Relationships in blended families are not always happy, they are never easy, and some people in them wish they weren't there at all. However, if you go into step-parenting with an open heart to whatever your situation has for you, it will deepen your capacity to love and teach you grace in a way no other role can. Step-parenting is a calling, and like any other mission field, you have no idea what will ultimately happen. You only know that in marrying a parent, you married someone whose family story began before you entered the picture. This decision will stretch you for the rest of your life, but it doesn't have to break you. In fact, if you hold on in tough times, it may make you stronger and more fulfilled than you ever thought you could be. It's probably not the story you imagine when you thought about having a family. But if you are called to marry someone with children, it's the story God has given you to live. May this book cheer you on in your journey. Chapter 1, Welcome to the Pool. Becoming a step-parent is like standing on the edge of a pool, wondering how far you should go in. There are people in the pool, and one of them, your new spouse, is beckoning you in with open arms. Others have their back toward you, hoping you'll take as little as possible of their space. In the middle of the pool are the ones everyone came to swim with, and if they are younger than 8, they are probably waving at you. If they are 5 or 6, they might even be calling your name. If they are teenagers or adults, they may be pretending you are not there. Worse yet, they could be wishing it. Should you play it safe and dip your feet in the shallow end? Or should you take your chances and dive in? You probably can't avoid getting at least partially wet, and more so if the child ends up living with you. But how deep you go into the pool is determined by how much risk your heart is willing to take. That choice will likely be determined by how fragile your heart is, how supported you feel by others, and whether or not you are counting on something in return for what you give. Amelia Watkins writes that step-parenting is a daunting task because it requires transitioning from stranger to parental figure in the eyes of someone who has a previously established parentage. In other words, the pool is already full when you are invited in. I negotiated my feelings about step-parenting long before I became one myself because my parents are divorced and remarried. Having step-parents slightly altered my perspective on being one, giving me a little more grace and understanding in my role. But ultimately, I learned what every step-parent learns. The depth of gratitude and love and pain and discomfort you feel is directly tied to how much of your heart you decide to give. And if you weigh the cost and decide to give your whole heart, I can tell you by experience that you will be changed. So this is my story of coming to the pool and making the decision to jump in. Beginnings. Growing up, I had dreams of becoming a mom, but those dreams always assumed biology. I never imagined that I would marry at 49, or that when a child came into my life, he would be 6. I don't believe anyone hopes to become a step-parent, nor do boys and girls grow up dreaming they'll be a second spouse. Those dreams come out of unexpected turns and brokenness. Brokenness is generally overlooked when we plot out our life. As a youth pastor, I mentored many kids who called me mom, and when I got engaged in my early 40s, I had a biological shot at becoming one. That opportunity disappeared when my engagement broke up, and that story is in another book. Grace crashed in with a second chance at marriage, and this time I made it down the aisle. As a bonus, there were two men waiting for me at the altar. One was 6'2", breathtakingly handsome, and my age. The other was 3'9", with curly blonde hair. He was holding the pillow with the ring. My husband's 6-year-old son was the gift that came with my marriage. And even though he came packaged with another mom, I was starry-eyed at God's generosity. Loss raises the volume of grace, even when it comes with a caveat. What I didn't know was how God would use that caveat to stretch me more than anything before or since. All marriages begin with love and hope, even if there are complexities peering at you from behind your bouquet. Those complexities were seated in the first two rows at my wedding, where my divorced parents sat across the aisle from each other with their spouses, along with half-sisters and step-siblings who were all a part of my family since my parents' remarriages. Statistics reveal that at least 40% of all U.S. families are step-families, although the dynamics of each family can vary with the ages of the children and the circumstances of the adults. They can grow to be flourishing or disastrous, depending on the circumstances and relationships that evolve from the mix. I hope that this book encourages you that there is a long story unfolding when it comes to step-parenting. Your persevering love will make a difference in the way your step-family evolves. It may never be a traditional family, but it can still be a beautiful one, for God is a master at putting broken pieces together into a new whole. As an adult stepchild, I understood a little of the journey I was embarking on, although I had experienced it from a slightly different angle than my stepson. My blended story was different because it came much later in life. But the challenge of accommodating more than two parents is an experience we both share. My father remarried when I turned 22, and on the day he asked a 25-year-old to share his name, the pain of stretching my name to include her was wrapped in thin veneer. I still look at pictures of their wedding and feel sad, although time has unveiled the strength of my stepmother's heart. She's a keeper, I whisper to the girl in the photos who was once me, and one day you will know it. Since that day, my stepmom has stood by my father through cancer, recovery, and aging, and she has remained devoted to him for 36 years. However, the day they married, I thought my heart would implode. And this proves your stepfamily journey can evolve and change. I am increasingly grateful for my stepmother, even with our 3-year age difference. So let that be an encouragement for any stepparent to cling to during difficult times. My stepmom has even become an example to me in my own stepparenting, which affirms that you never know all that God will do with the brokenness in your life. Fix your eyes on the long view. When I was 36, my mom married a retired minister who was 11 years older than her. He had 4 grown children and 2 grandkids when he entered the marriage, so he settled for any level of friendship my brothers and I would give him. In my survey of more than 100 step-parents, those who entered marriage when the children were adults reported that their relationships varied from acquaintances to wonderful friendships. The dynamics of older stepfamilies aren't quite as complicated as younger stepfamilies because everyone has more freedom to go at their own pace. Second marriages that occur later in life may complicate holidays or create competition between grandparents, but these disruptions are minimal compared to a young stepfamily's blended life. If given a choice, most children would choose to have their biological parents together, but it is possible for a good second marriage to enrich a child's life. This depends partly on the relationship that evolves between the stepparent and stepchild, but there are many examples of successful stepfamilies that offer this hope. When I entered my marriage, my husband and I wanted to be able to give an example of a good marriage to the boy we committed to parent. But we also knew we were embarking on a daunting journey because the road to forming a stepfamily is inescapably full of curves and bumps. You don't have to poke too far into the internet to uncover the stress and anxiety that can accompany stepparenting. The stress seems to especially impact stepmoms who are twice as likely as biological moms to be depressed. At the time of this writing, the most reviewed stepparenting book is titled Step Monster, which not so subtly proclaims the stigma many of us face. Though this book has some very helpful information, I hid the cover when someone exercised next to me at the gym. Nothing can prepare you for every trial you will face as a stepparent, but there are some insights that can help equip you for the challenges ahead. You will be called to love bravely in an often thankless role. My hope is that this book will encourage you that the journey is worth it because God will use stepparenting to grow your soul. C.S. Lewis declared that to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. While this is true in all relationships, it may be especially true for stepparents, because you learn to love with no strings attached. You will always be a child's choice. Stepparenting isn't for the faint of heart, because it requires sacrifice and courage. You can minimize your role by keeping your heart closed, but you will miss out on the gift that will enlarge your soul. By parenting a child who isn't yours, you have the opportunity to love unconditionally, which is the part of you God longs to grow. Love is best and brightest when it is delivered with open hands, and step-parenting will present you with that chance. You will learn in your job description what all parents discover when their children leave home. Our children don't belong to us. They are given to us to nurture and build into, and as a step-parent, you will be part of that process in your child's life. You may only be an add-on parent, but if you embrace your role and live it for all it's worth, you will have a unique voice in their growth. You may not share biology or be listed on their birth certificate, but you can heal broken places and bring in objectivity that biological parents don't always have. The joy will be yours to quietly celebrate as you watch your stepchild flourish, because you will know the commitment you made to your parenting played a part. Now that Jordan is 17, I thought it was a good time to add my voice to the books on step-parenting and provide some hope for those who share this call. I wanted to wait until I had a decade of experience under my belt and for Jordan to be old enough to contribute his insights. I believe his perspective will add value, however risky that might be for me. And I also have the input of more than 100 step-parents I surveyed to supplement our story. Some challenges are common to every step-parent, but I pray that the words you need will encourage your soul. If you are listening to this book before you become a step-parent, I commend you for thinking ahead to prepare for this role. Just the fact that you chose this book and are listening to it before your marriage means that you recognize the seriousness of the task. When you are pursuing a relationship with someone who has a child, it involves more than figuring out whether that person is right for you. You will be marrying the children who come with your spouse, so you must decide whether being a step-parent is something you are ready to embrace. After you cross the altar, you will be a parent. So take time to see all that is before you take each step. There are other hearts involved in the decisions you make. Your relationship with your spouse's child officially begins the day you get married, but you start to build the foundation for that relationship as soon as you get serious with someone who has kids. For that reason, every move you make in your relationship with that child needs to be made with intention, but you also have to make room for every unexpected surprise. It's good practice for what life as a step-parent will bring. The story of meeting my men. Jerry and I had been seeing each other only 3 months when it happened. My future stepson outed me at my church. This wasn't just a church I attended. It was a church where I was an associate pastor. And as a 48-year-old single woman, I had tried to keep my dating life under wraps. I had decided to keep this one area private because so much of my life was under scrutiny. I was also frequently approached with, "There's someone I want you to meet." However, on this particular day, my relationship with Jerry went public before we intended people to know. It was the first of many wonderful interruptions Jerry's little boy would bring to my life. Before meeting Jerry, my dating had been less than thrilling. It had basically boiled down to whose baggage could be compatible with mine. After another mediocre relationship had fizzled, some friends invited me to a party so I could meet their newly single friend. Not wanting to block any opportunity, I reluctantly agreed. When I got to the party, our immediate chemistry caused my heart to take an unfamiliar leap. I believe my stomach did an actual somersault when he asked if we could meet for coffee the following week. We met down the street from where he worked, and I tried to appear nonchalant while stomach butterflies clamored for my attention. During our conversation, he shared that he was a stepdad as well as a biological dad. He had raised 2 stepchildren for 12 years while he was married to his ex-wife. Since his ex-wife left, his 3rd child was the only one who belonged to him. The stepchildren were now only connected to him by their choice. This was the first time I came face to face with the risk involved in step-parenting. It was evident that his heart was grieving this loss. I met Jerry during a painful chapter with his stepkids, and it gave me a chance to deeply ponder what becoming a step-parent would mean. I had to ponder it, because Jerry's biological son was part of any future with him. Being a father was clearly the crux of his heart and life. After 3 months of dating, we were pretty clear that our relationship was becoming serious, so we decided it was time for me to meet Jerry's son. Opinions vary as to when this should happen, but you should eventually see what your relationship will be like with the child involved. Many couples practice step-parenting by living together first, but this is risky because of the bonding that can mess up a child's heart. Statistics reveal that the more transitions kids have to make with the adults who parent them, the more likely there will be problems in their development and growth. Ultimately, our faith commitment precluded that option anyway. We had decided that marriage would be the only way we'd set up house. We went the traditional route from dating to marriage, and 3 months into our relationship, I began building a friendship with Jerry's child. I figured homemade cookies were a safe bet, and the minute I laid eyes on him, I was smitten. One parent on my survey said, "Don't become a step-parent unless you love your future stepchildren." The day I met Jordan, I was putty in his hands. After he gobbled down 3 of my cookies and hugged me, my heart was drawn even closer to Jerry. After that day, Jordan referred to me as the Cookie Lady, and this became my nickname the first few weeks I was in his life. This was when the incident occurred at church. Because Jerry and I were keeping our relationship private, we sat separately, even though we attended the same service at our church. We were waiting to sit together until we were more established in our relationship so we'd be ready for the questions that would inevitably come. However, on this particular day, Jerry's sweet golden-haired boy made a decision that took our plan out of our hands. As I took my seat in the front of the church, I heard Jordan yell out, "Dad, there's the cookie lady!" Before Jerry could stop him, he yanked him down the aisle to where I sat in the second row. I froze. Jordan plopped down next to me and put his dad on the other side of him, and then he took my arm and put it around his shoulders. Then he carefully took his dad's arm and put it around his shoulders from the other side. Within minutes, we were seated in the front of my church with the little boy snuggled between us. Jerry and I kept our eyes locked forward, but we felt the stares of hungry church ladies watching our backs. Though it was briefly uncomfortable, I have to admit it was also wonderful, because it was the first time I felt acceptance from my future stepson. Somewhere in his 5-year-old brain, he decided that day that he wanted me close to him and his dad. It meant the world to me, and I was willing to go public because of it. It wasn't the last time my carefully constructed plans would be interrupted by this boy. From that day forward, I learned that as a step-parent, I would sometimes be called to choose my stepchild's comfort over my own. If you become a step-parent, you will likely be faced with the same choice. Studies reveal that if you are a high-control, perhaps firstborn, step-parent, you will probably experience more challenges in your step-parenting. I didn't realize that I'd have my first practice letting go of my control before I even got engaged. That day in church, I had 2 choices. I could remove Jordan's arm from my shoulders or live with the fact that there would be gossip hell to pay. I chose the second option, and it was the first of many times my love for my stepson would direct my response. Maybe lack of control is a good place to start when you are asking yourself if you can handle being a step-parent. How much control are you willing to give up? Marriage itself requires sacrifice, but when you add stepchildren, the sacrifice is infinitely greater. It's best to think this through when dating a parent before your feelings take you into a multi-level commitment you aren't prepared to make. On top of all this, it isn't just your spouse's child who you will be marrying. Your vows will include your spouse's ex who comes with your child. Another step-parent may be added to the mix when your spouse's ex remarries. Picturing all the people you are marrying when you say "I do" to someone with kids is not very romantic, but it certainly is more accurate. Your "I do" extends not only past your spouse to their children, but also to the biological parent who shares and exceeds your place. The fantasy of happily ever after with you, your spouse, and your stepchild is just that, a fantasy. There may be seasons or days when you will be with your little family, but you have to be prepared for the many times it will be chopped up or shifted around. The health and well-being of your stepchildren are tied to their other biological parent, and you will constantly need to make space for their place. You can put out the welcome mat or have your door shoved in, but they are part of the package your marriage brought to your life. The best way to go into step-parenting is to get ready to open your heart and door to the adventure ahead. New things take time. When you first begin forming your stepfamily, it's important to remember you are forming a new context for the love and growth that began in a family that no longer exists. Loss and brokenness set the stage for your family, so at times you may feel as if you cannot see your way through the mess. God speaks to the prophet Isaiah about what he's going to do for people who are coming out of loss and brokenness, and two images in the passage are very appropriate for stepfamilies. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. A way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. These might be two of the best descriptions you'll find for what you are trying to do in step-parenting. Some of the people coming into your step-family will feel like they have been or are in a wilderness or wasteland. But God can make a way to a new future if you commit to staying the course. Thinking of your step-family as a way or a path rather than a destination will help you remember the process takes time. A way in the wilderness takes you through stark conditions. Streams in the wasteland have less than ideal surroundings while they provide life and hope. These descriptions can help you hold to your mission, even when things look bleak. Your marriage will begin by helping a child or children settle into broken pieces of family. So you will contend with imperfect conditions, even if you are headed the right way. You need to be prepared for more adversity than couples who start with a clean slate. Some may feel it's a liability to begin this way, but it can also be a gift. You will learn how adept you are as a couple in making difficult adjustments and how you handle responsibility and adversity when you're not always prepared. These challenges are inevitable in every marriage, but step-parenting gives you an opportunity to face them earlier. If you can weather the difficulties of forming a step-family, you will build a foundation with your spouse that is tested and strong. No one can predict the adversities that will hit your step-family, but when you have a strong foundation of faith, you will be better equipped to survive your challenges. 73% of the step-parents I surveyed said their faith was the biggest factor in the success of their step-parenting. Their relationship with God is what carried them through many storms. Jesus alludes to this strength in Luke chapter 6 when he tells a parable about foundations. The house that was built on a strong faith was able to withstand the storm, but the one without it collapsed. Faith doesn't always determine success or failure in a stepfamily, but it gives you the added strength that many say is the reason they are able to survive. I want to leave you with one more important statistic to include in this first chapter. 62% of the step-parents I surveyed said their relationship with their stepchildren improved with time. The love and support you show your stepchild may not be reciprocated immediately, but one day your love will be seen from a different light. You may weather some storms as the child navigates his or her journey, but your consistent love and perseverance will eventually pay off. Most step-parents concur that the story with stepchildren is a long one, and when you are in the middle of it, you sometimes feel as if you're at the end of your rope. If you stay the course, you will pass through the challenging chapters and get to a better place. If your stepchildren are 10 or older, they probably won't start out by calling you the cookie lady and putting your arm around them at church. But if you persevere, even when you are a step-parent to older children, you may very well win a place in their heart. The way in the wilderness mentality helps you realize that your relationships are moving to a better place, and the journey takes time. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 20, Paul talks about a power that is available to us as step-parents. He says that God, through His Spirit, can do more within us than we can even imagine or possibly think.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?